In a world of Democrats,
there will be time for them to make profits. Now's not that time.
And Republicans,
I've abandoned free market principles to save the free market system.
You need a voice of liberty. Look no further. You found it. Tom Woods. Beware, citizen. You are now departing from the world of allowable opinion. The Tom Woods Show.
Welcome to the Tom Woods Show, episode 401. Today we're talking to business trainer and talk show host Josh Tolley. He's the host of The Josh Tolley Show, which runs Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time. He is the author of the book Quit Your Job or Die, as well as the new book Evangelpreneur. And we're going to talk about self-employment and finding freedom through working for yourself. Josh is, of course, also a Ron Paulian. He's part of the Liberty Movement. He's an all-around great guy. Everyone's been telling me to talk to him. And so, you know, you tell me to do something, I pretty much do it 60% of the time. And Josh is part of that 60%. Josh, welcome to the show.
Oh, Tom, thank you so much. You know, this is an interview I've been waiting to do for a long time. We have so many mutual contacts that have contacted me about you that it is a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much, sir.
Well, likewise, I've had people saying you guys need to talk to each other. And finally, you know, 7 years later, here we are doing it. So we've cleared our schedules and made it happen. There are all kinds of topics that you and I could discuss because you do have a daily show that I just told people about. And on the other hand, you also are a business guy. You're an entrepreneurship guy. You talk to people about business and goals and self-employment and breaking free of the 9-to-5 grind and so on and so forth. And since that theme really does have it can have a number of liberty applications to it. It can be part of the whole philosophy. I thought we might focus in on that a little bit. Let me start off as devil's advocate here. Now, I say I am definitely being devil's advocate because I'm self-employed and I wouldn't change things for the world. But I could say this. Being self-employed can be an unstable situation in the sense that you don't know if it's going to work out forever. You don't get paid if you don't make things happen. Whereas if I'm an employee, I'm going to get paid through thick and thin. So that would be one thing, is that there's insecurity associated with it. And secondly, being self-employed, you have to have something to do. Whereas in the traditional employment situation, as long as I have some, I can contribute some small part of a production process, I can at least put food on my table. How do you make a self-employment argument in favor against these types of objections?
Well, I would say that those two objections hold very little water. You know, when you look at security, it doesn't exist through employment. You know, when you look back at 2008, tell those 580,000 employees who lost their job, oh, don't worry about it. You have job security. You don't. Job security is and always has been a myth. Matter of fact, there was a study done by the Banking Association after the Great Depression that found if you are employed, if somebody else signs your paycheck, you have a 98% chance of being dead or broke by your 65th birthday because you have zero control. It's an illusion of security. If your boss takes the company and does a nosedive, you're out of work. If the economy shifts or they export your job, you're out of work. You have no control. And to me, that's too dangerous, to be honest. And then if you look at self-employment, yeah, there is a failure rate. You know, I checked into a hotel recently and the guy at the desk recognized me and he says, hey, you're that self-employment guy. I couldn't do that. It's too risky. And I said, well, did you know you only have a 2% chance of retiring successfully as an employee, regardless of how much money you make? So even if 95% of businesses fail, I still doubled my odds compared to you. And that's the thing we no longer teach. We don't teach that entrepreneurship is the security blanket. You get to set your future. Instead, we teach that you have to go through this course of employment. And then what it leaves us with are millions of people across the country wondering why jobs aren't supplying their needs, because they're not designed to. And that's a whole topic in and of itself. The other objection to you need something to do, that's not necessarily true either. There are so many ways to get involved in self-employment that you don't need money to make money. That's a myth. It's a lie. You know, otherwise we all would be sharing the original $10 bill. And you don't actually need to provide the product or service either. I know people who are either retired because of age, or retired because of wealth, or in a position where they're physically incapable of providing the product or service, but they provide a very great life for themselves because they got involved in entrepreneurship just as an investor in many other people's entrepreneurship dreams and goals. So there's never a reason not to be an entrepreneur.
On the other hand, there are aspects of entrepreneurship that maybe, I'm not sure, can be taught. It's not a science that can be taught like chemistry, because certainly there are some people who are much, much better at it than others, even though they had no formal training, they didn't study entrepreneurship in a business school. We're not dealing with an exact science. We may even be dealing with some kind of an art in a way. So I feel like, I, of course, I would like to encourage independence among especially my listeners. I want people to be able to live the life they want to live and to do what they want to do and have all the security they can have. But they're still going to wonder to themselves, what can I do? In my case, it came somewhat easily to me, but in the sense that I had a traditional academic job. I started writing books that were very successful. I got out of the academic job because I wasn't really enjoying it. And now I'm able to parlay the publishing successes I had into my Liberty Classroom website, my sure. Ron Paul homeschool thing, other books, other publishing, this podcast, and it all works together to support me. But it was not easy to get here, and all along the way, I think I was hindered by my traditional 9-to-5 sense of waiting for opportunities to come to me instead of making opportunities. Create that website, do that thing, create that webinar, promote that product. It's hard to break out of that mentality. But anyway, that's a side point. The point is, it's hard to throw people into this without when they're wondering what do I do? Yeah, I'd love to quit my job, but what am I going to do? What is the flow chart that they should go through to get from I don't know the answer to that question to the answer to that question?
Well, first, there's actually two points within your point. The first one is the skill set you need to be an entrepreneur. If you are going to be the entrepreneur that runs the enterprise like you are in your situation, or let's say maybe a plumber who starts his own plumbing business, then yes, there is a skill set you need. There's about 38 different skills that you need to at least have some proficiency in, which is why I teach classes on it. But the whole topic of entrepreneurship is actually much larger, and the mistake that most people make is that we think we need to be the one that's doing something, and that's not true. But unfortunately, because we've been so indoctrinated through the teaching system over the past 100 years, we think that we need to do the effort in order for us to get the result. And let me just give you an example. There was a teacher that recently retired, and the media's headline was, "Humble Teacher Leaves Millions of Dollars to Charity." And they wrote the article as if through her work as a teacher empowered her to be benevolent to the tune of multiple millions of dollars. But in reality, I actually did some digging, and I found the local news sources and the local records, and I found out that her husband bought stock in a startup 40 years ago that turned into millions of dollars, and that's what she left. And that's entrepreneurship. That's what entrepreneurship is ownership of businesses. So she had nothing to do with the operation of that company, nor did her husband, but entrepreneurship still provided that freedom and that security. And we so miss it in media that, I mean, to give you an example, Tom, when I go and I give a presentation on business, I take with me a textbook from 1929. It's a seventh grade textbook. It's less than an inch thick. And the first chapter is hiring your employee. That's what we taught seventh graders in 1929. Today, it's hundreds of pages of repetition, repetition, repetition. So that way, when they get out of school, they think, A, job is the default career choice, and B, if they ever do start a business, they think about it as if they were an employee, they just happen to own it, so they think, what can I do? What do I have to do? What do I have to know? And those are just wrong approaches to entrepreneurship.
But what about that statistic that we hear that varies here and there, but it's some horrifying percentage of new businesses that fail? Why shouldn't that discourage me from entrepreneurship?
Oh, it's a crazy statistic. Matter of fact, one statistic says 83% of all businesses fail, and 50% of small businesses in this country right now need another job or another source of income just to stay open. I'm not trying to paint the picture that small business is going to be successful as soon as you do it. Not at all. But it is much more successful, not only as individuals, but as society. It's much more successful than an employment-based model. Matter of fact, an employment-based economy can't last more than three generations anyway. It's just mathematically not possible. So when you look at entrepreneurship, you have to look at the macro and the micro. From a micro standpoint, there are things that you can do to enhance your odds of success. Part of the reason we see an 83% failure rate, and in some cases, it's even much worse than that. There was a professor, I don't have it in front of me, but I put it in the book, that studied small business, and he wanted to do a 10-year study. None of the businesses that he selected lasted 10 years. I mean, that's how bad it can be. But at the same point, we also have to realize that 4 out of 5 Americans are at or near poverty. 1 in 2 don't have $500. So we can't make this illusion that employment's working either. But back to the failure rate. The reason why so many of these businesses fail is because they take that employment mindset that has been ground into us from about 5 years old, and then they try to run a business with it. And that's really what my job is. I train businesses to become artistic. I mean, you made a great reference to that. I call it drivers. If you look at your car, for example, you have the mechanics, you know, the internal combustion engine, the transmission. Well, you wouldn't teach your daughter about the internal combustion engine and then hand her the keys and say, okay, you know everything it takes to drive the car. But unfortunately, that's what business school after business school is teaching people. They're teaching them the mechanics of business, saying, okay, you know, now you're equipped. They go out there, 83% of them crash into the wall. And I'm sitting here thinking, well, why would you expect anything different? You've only taught them mechanics. You haven't taught them how to drive. So I teach people how to drive.
I wonder if you can tell me how, in your view, because in my view, the internet has made it vastly, vastly easier to be an entrepreneur and to work for yourself and to find income streams. How do you specifically find that that's the case?
Well, I think the internet has obviously impacted the world in a way that's undeniable. I think along with that, though, some of that undeniable impact is a lack of being able to spot opportunities. The one thing you get from the 40 and under crowd is this idea that they understand the alternative currencies, they understand the internet, but they don't understand how to grasp and recognize opportunity. I mean, opportunity can bite you in so many different ways that even if it's in front of you, because we've been so programmed not to recognize it, we miss it. So I think more often than not, people say, okay, I'm just going to put something up on the internet. I'm going to start a business on the internet. I've seen the success stories on Business Insider or whatever. But what they don't realize is there's now billions of websites. And, you know, part of the equation is how do you integrate social media, search engine optimization, branding into your marketing efforts online? And I would say out of the businesses that I train, a huge element of their failure is the wrong approach to the internet. We have this mindset that just because the internet's there, if I use it, well, then I'm going to be successful. And that's not the case.
I think of this guy I've had on the show, John Lee Dumas, who is just a master entrepreneur. He's in his 30s. He hosts a very successful podcast. And he just simply listens to what his listeners say they need. His listeners are mostly small business people. And we're sometimes inclined to think, I'm going to make something that people darn well better want. But this is the wrong approach. So, for example, people want to know, I'd like to start a podcast, but it seems like a lot of work and I wouldn't know where to start. So he created a fully, you know, a full-fledged podcast website. In fact, tomwoods.com/paradise is how you can get to it. So he did that, and that was amazingly successful, and he promotes it through webinars online. We didn't have the opportunity to promote our products online through webinars. And then people said to him, well, I don't know how to do a webinar that's as beautiful as your webinar. So he created a product of how to produce webinars. So he just listens to what people need, and he's now earning six figures a month all through the internet, all through the internet. He doesn't have to go door to door. He doesn't have to take out magazine subscriptions. He's learned how to use Facebook, how to use Facebook ads, which Facebook ads allow you to pinpoint your audience so specifically.
Oh,
much better than TV ads, where 80% of people who are watching, your offer is irrelevant to them. These are opportunities none of us had 20 years ago.
Right. Right. And there's a huge, obviously, element to that if we can learn how to use those things for our success. And what you see time and time again is smart entrepreneurs like the gentleman you just referenced helping people start their podcasts, and he's making great revenue doing so. But what my focus is to make sure that those people who start those podcasts know what they're doing so they too can be successful. I spent the last 15 years helping those people turn their businesses, whether they're failing or whether they're just a dream at the time, into a successful model. Because there are, like you said, there are so many great tools. We just don't teach people how to use them anymore. And unfortunately, sometimes we just provide them with the access to them and they think, well, that's all I need to succeed. And then they're left failing. And to me, that's a sad reality.
Don't I need a lot of seed capital to go into business for myself?
No. It takes no money to make money. In the book Evangelpreneur, which just came out less than a month ago, I actually talk about that. I have seen and I have helped people start businesses with literally $0. I give this example of a guy that I helped in a very popular touristy city here in the U.S., and he said, well, Josh, I want to start a business. And I said, well, what do you want to do? And he had some elaborate dream. I think it was owning a bed and breakfast, like something that would take seed money. And I said, well, that's not a reality. I mean, that's what you want to do. And unfortunately, so many people start businesses based on either A, what they're good at, or B, what they want to do. And both of those things should be not in the top five of considerations, to be honest with you. And I said, what's the real goal? And he says, well, the goal is to be free, to control my time and my money. And I said, well, this is a piece of cake. What sort of skill set do you have? And he could draw, right? He could draw really well. I said, well, we'll have you in business by Tuesday. So we went to an Italian pizzeria, and I said, look, this guy needs to start his own business. He's going to be drawing caricatures of tourists as they come off these cruise ships. In exchange for the startup capital, which is only like $500 to get him legal, you know, bust through the red tape and get his products and everything, he needs about $500. If you front him the $500, he will hand a coupon to your pizzeria to every tourist that he draws a caricature of. Now, if you've been in business, $500 to put an ad in somebody's hand is cheap just for one time, let alone indefinitely. So obviously the pizzeria says, yeah, that's a no-brainer. So they front him the startup capital. Well, the last time I talked to him, he was working 4 days a week, making $70,000 a year, happy as a lark, and it took him $0 to start his business. So we have to get past these ideas of, well, I want to get into ammo manufacturing, and it's going to take me $3.2 million, so I need angel investors and rounds of investment and evaluation planning. That's all irrelevant if it comes to why do you want to start a business in the first place. You can always grow into something bigger, which, by the way, I call those starter businesses. What you'll find is by the time you get to your bigger dream, you no longer have to use other people's money to do it. You can fund it yourself. And that whole lie of using other people's money, we kind of figured out how that turned out in 2008 as well. So it's a much more secure, profitable, and workable plan to achieve that goal.
To me, there are a ton of possible things that somebody could do sort of out of the box very, very quickly. There are plenty of local businesses that feel like they should have an online presence and they don't know where to start. I mean local businesses near you personally. I think they would rather work with somebody who can sit down across from a desk with them and talk to them and talk them through it, get them on Facebook or design a simple website. They'd like to have somebody do it for them. I mean, like, for example, all these businesses that you type in their name and only a Yellow Pages thing comes up, they have no online presence. And if you had a reasonable price, I think you could get a lot of business that way if you had those skills. Now, you can acquire a lot of these skills through courses at lynda.com. I mean, there are all kinds of ways that in your spare time, you can acquire a skill that's marketable and that can get you things you need. Or you can do, again, even in just your spare time, you can build up all kinds of work portfolios by taking on jobs through Fiverr, Fiverr.com, or Elance, which you can reach through tomwoods.com/Elance. You can post a job there and build up a portfolio for yourself before you know it. Whether you're into design or writing or whatever it is, you have all kinds of opportunities to do work for people all over the world from your home in your spare time as a way of building up that pathway out of that rut that you're in right now. So that's what I mean by the internet opening. It's true that a lot of people use it badly, and they've got $20 bills all over the ground, and they're just stepping on them, walking along, not picking them up. That's definitely true. But the point is, those $20 bills are there and easily picked up that were not there before. It is entirely a new world, especially for the person who's on his own, but who wants to make his living that way.
Yeah, and any change, whether it's the internet or even Obamacare, any change creates opportunity. And this is a huge point when it comes to entrepreneurship. When you live in an employment-based economy, you have other factors that dictate the potential growth of that employment-based economy. When you have an entrepreneurship mindset, when you have an entrepreneurship-based economy, whether it's just your home economy, neighborhood, state, county, nation, whatever, you see the ability to actually succeed regardless of what the change is. So, for example, with Obamacare, you have a lot of employers laying off employees or turning them into part-time employees so they don't have to pay the penalties, fines, and associated costs. Well, this opened up a huge opportunity to become subcontractors. I helped 3 people just this week alone start businesses by going to companies and saying, hey, look, you have this staff. Like one, for example, was laundry at a hotel. The hotel was a privately owned franchise. It was a big name, but it was a privately owned franchise. And this gentleman went in there and said, hey, look, with my company, we will take over your laundry services. We'll use your facilities, but you don't have to worry about the employment, the income tax, the workman's comp, the Obamacare requirements. And the hotel's like, yes, please. So you have all these – like there's always opportunity. And this is what I tell people. I said, look, if you can go to prison and somebody in prison can get you the magazine, the candy bar, the cigarettes, get you whatever you want, there's always that guy. If you can be an entrepreneur in an 8x8 cell in a cage, don't tell me you can't be an entrepreneur with millions of opportunities and freedoms that surround you on a daily basis.
All right, let's see. I want to wrap things up here. I want you to give us your – joshtolley.com is your website. I'm going to, of course, link to that at tomwoods.com/401, which is today's show notes page. We'll have your books there. We'll have link to your show. We'll have your social media, everything. That'll be the clearinghouse. But you, of course, do have a site people can go to directly, joshtolley.com. What are they going to find there, and why should they go?
Well, when you go to joshtolley.com, you'll find a lot of information about the show. I host a show, like you said, Monday through Friday, 9 to 11 Central. They'll find a lot of information about the political side of this. I mean, that's a whole show in and of itself, how free enterprise empowers freedom and liberty. They'll learn a little bit about my story and how I got here. They'll also get resources, you know, whether it's the book Evangelpreneur or the book Quit Your Job or Die or one of the other titles that are about to come out. In addition, there's always courses, classes, weekend retreats that we do to really help people, whether it's in their business goals, their relationship goals, whatever it happens to be. And all of that is at joshtolley.com. If you sign up for a newsletter, obviously, then you get the regular updates whenever we add a tour stop or an event.
Great. Well, sounds great. I appreciate your time today and the insights that I hope people will follow up on and check out your material over there. And as I say, we'll have it all laid out for them on tomwoods.com/401 as well. Josh, thanks for your time.
Thank you, Tom. It's been a pleasure.
All right, everybody. On the show notes page for today, tomwoods.com/401, you'll get resources related to this episode as well as related episodes. I'll put up the $100 Startup episode that we did and also my interview with John Lee Dumas, entrepreneur extraordinaire. If you've not heard those episodes, you'll want to hear those in particular. As a self-employed guy myself, let me remind you, of course, about my new book. If you enjoy this show, you will enjoy this book. It's called Real Dissent: A Libertarian Sets Fire to the Index Card of Allowable Opinion. You can check it out at realdissent.com, and you can get the audiobook version with me doing the reading through tomwoodsaudio.com for free. So I hope you enjoy that, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.
The Tom Woods Show.